This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Geeks out.
Our go.
Folks, you are listening to Geeks Out. I'm Miranda Sparks here with Clayton, Tamsin, and Robin. And right now, we're going to be talking about Dracula. The Prince of Darkness himself has a brand new 3-episode miniseries co-produced by the BBC and is currently streaming on Netflix and stars Clace Bang, Dolly Wells, and Morford Clark, just to name a few. And the part where I kind of hesitated was when I saw who the show writers and producers were, Stephen Moffat and Mark Gatiss, who you might be familiar with having done BBC's Sherlock and the Matt Smith and Peter Capaldi eras of Doctor Who.
And in fact, Mark Gatiss wrote episodes from season one. So
yeah.
And they're the worst ones ever.
I mean, there were a couple of Stephen Moffat episodes of Doctor Who that I really, really enjoyed, but I didn't like Sherlock because, and I'm going to, controversial opinion time, I kind of thought, you know, Sherlock was smarmy and overly insulting, and all the queer baiting I just didn't like in that series. Mm. They were like, Sherlock and Watson might be a couple. No, you're an idiot for thinking that. And, you know, here's some more queer baiting for you. And I kind of felt there was I know it wasn't that in this particular show. It was something else entirely. So watching the previews of this show that I really wanted to like, I got excited about, you know, when they touted the idea of a bisexual Dracula. You know, because when I think of Dracula, I don't think of someone who's just a pure monster. Like Dracula's children, you know, his vampires, children of the night, all of his sires, what have you, they're all, you know, monsters who, you know, have no impulse control. But himself, King of Darkness, you know, he's able to rein himself in. He doesn't necessarily have to jump every first hot-blooded body he sees. You know, and sometimes he actually does have affection for the people that, you know, he looks over. For example, in the film that starred Gary Oldman, he definitely had an affection for Mina Harker in that particular story. And in many sense. And I was kind of hoping for something like that in this particular story, but what we've essentially gotten is another queer-coded villain, and, you know, if you were even to call him bisexual, he's a bisexual abuser. I could only get through the first episode because his victim, Jonathan Harker, one of the main characters, he spent the entire time gaslighting him, making decisions for him, slowly bleeding him dry, even when he said, you know, like, oh, you're special, you're not like the other children of the night, you know, I want to make you my bride. It was just so many layers of, I know, really triggering content, and, you know, just him being monstrous. And I'm like, we don't need this in our queer representation. And that's what really struck me. I know, Tamsin, Clayton, you also had a chance to watch this episode. I know, what really stood out for you?
So I'll go first. Thanks, Clayton. I think I must admit, I purely watched it as Dracula as a monster because that's what it came across as. And Now when we've been discussing this, the way he is pictured to be bi, or it was there, but it wasn't there, and it was by the end, and he's all of a sudden going, oh, this is just the first episode, by the way.
Mm.
And it's in the preview, so it's not really a spoiler, but saying, I want you to be my bride.
Mm.
You're kind of going, but hang on a sec. What's he really getting out of it? Why is he, you know, he just seems to tease, as you say, that tease is always there. And I don't know, I actually watched all 3 episodes. Mm-hmm. And they kind of try to tie it in later on. And it's really interesting that you talk a lot about the compulsion and the control that he has. That is played a lot in the next few episodes about whether he can control his compulsion to turn a person or kill a person, and how long he can last and things like that. That's really played out in the next two episodes.
Mm. But the first episode, you know, and I might watch the next two just as a completionist, as someone who has to finish something if it's short. I'm probably going to watch the next two, but it was really hard getting through this first one for me, you know, seeing Matt. You know, that's this, you know, quote-unquote queer representation that we've been given for this. I think they were trying to shoot for the idea of a lot of other characters being bisexual as well, but the only other examples, we had the character of Sister Agatha in a convent saying that she had fantasies about, you know, one of the other nuns, and Mina Harker writing in a letter saying that she had fantasies about one of the barmaids at some, you know, pub or something, which just seemed really jammed in there and was very tell, don't show. Mm-hmm. For this, and they were just kind of shoved in a way that's completely inorganic, because what nun is going to say, oh, I've had fantasies about this other nun in a story? And I was like, come on.
But yeah, her character plays out. She's not that type of nun. Like, she is that type of nun to have fantasies and tell about it. I think you've got to continue watching.
I don't know. It was just really difficult for me, because, you know, that's like one of those pieces of representation that's not representation.
Mm, no, I definitely wouldn't class it as a queer representation.
No, and it's one of those things, well, especially if you're familiar with the history of queer representation in cinema, that it used to be mandated from certain powers that be that if you had queer representation in cinema, that they be villains, insane, or killed off at the end.
Or all three.
Or all three. And I feel like that we're getting that with Dracula all over again, and just it leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
I found it really hard to read a sexuality into the character at all, because I didn't feel like he had lovers, he had victims. Mm. And it's sort of, his representation is the fact that he doesn't actually care who he bites and who he drains, and that within its own sort of nature has a certain sexuality to it, because it's intimate. It's a very intimate process of taking blood from somebody. Thanks to all the nurses who are out there taking blood for people. Mm. But
they're doing it for good reasons.
Yeah, exactly. There's a huge difference there.
They're not looking to feed on your soul and your memories. No.
But the way that Dracula does it is hugely intimate, and he's taking not only his life force, but he's taking, like, chunks of his personality and his ability to speak English. Slight spoilers there. Mm. But I found that all really weird, and I don't feel like you need to interpret this as being any sexuality at all. And I completely agree that when we get other mentions of other people's bisexuality, it's very much just queerbaiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately is typical for, you know, what we get from Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat. And I'm like, come on, guys, you've done better than this.
Yeah, they have. And they've actually done some really, like, River Song is a Stephen Moffat character who is bisexual and amazing.
Yeah.
So probably more than bisexual. She's very just everything.
I want to talk about, I think it's Claes Bang who plays Dracula in this. I want to ask folks about his particular performance and about what you felt he brought to this particular character as Count Dracula.
Not a lot.
Yeah, but I want Tams and I want
you. Miranda's just looked directly at me. Look, I think as a Dracula, he is that character you love hate. I really disliked his smuttiness. No, really, for a contemporary Dracula, It played too much into the old school, like that slicked hair back, I've come to suck your blood, which really disappointed me, because I wanted the life of its own, which is why when you get to episode 3, it's really weird. But yeah.
He's always been a character to me who, you know, Count Dracula, he's always described as charming. And, you know, like, he has that soft character. And we don't have that in this show at all.
I don't think we get it in the first episode, though.
See, the first episode, if you're not delivering it in the first episode, in the first hour and a half, then what's the point in going on? Is you know, like, it's a slog. But, you know, he's not charming in the first episode that I saw.
He's an asshole.
He comes along, he Basically, he reads exactly like Sherlock to me, you know, like Sherlock with fangs. He comes along, he's smarter than everyone in the room and, you know, sort of lords it over you and makes himself appear superior and everyone else around him feels stupid.
That is so true, because, yeah.
Which, again, is like another abuse tactic that he brings on. I know, like, is that sort of the feeling you get?
Oh, definitely. The whole thing is about abuse. It's about toxic relationships and
without ever actually calling it out or being self-aware of it.
No, and it's not like they're saying toxic relationships are bad. They're sort of saying, well, here's Dracula, he's going to suck you. Well, wait, hold on.
your blood.
I know you have your own Dracula fantasies that you bring up sometimes. Yeah. I've wanted to suck you. Yeah, I just stole your joke.
Yeah, please. It's all good.
And please, Clayton, just watch episode 3 just with that line of toxic relationships.
Okay, I will try.
Please.
I mean, like I said, I'm probably going to finish it because I'm a completionist, but I want to say if you want to watch a better Dracula movie, like even if you want to endure Keanu Reeves' horrible English accent, go and watch the Gary Oldman one, because that's always good to revisit. And Robin has her own personal favourite Dracula pick.
It's not my favourite, the one that you just mentioned is, but definitely, from the sounds of it, I haven't seen this show, but go watch Dracula 2000 instead, because at least there you've got, in his prime, Gerard Butler playing Dracula. And, yeah, it's... And a very, very... gay-coded Dracula. I believe in the movie he's Jesus's boyfriend. I think that's his backstory.
I mean, I'm totally down with that.
Yeah.
And we all know Jesus was gay as well, so.
Just getting to know Robin's taste in films in the last few weeks, I knew you were going to say Dracula 2000.
Yep.
Which, yeah.
Well, she has mentioned it a few times.
I haven't heard that at once, I have to say.
No?
No. So,
I know. Yeah. What's a better vampire story if you want to go and check out Dracula?
Buffy's the best vampire.
Dracula versus Buffy.
Dracula versus Buffy is incredible, I think. If you want to check out some anime, check out Helsing Ultimate, which is, you know, a really good,
so good
version of Dracula, even though he's not Dracula, he's Alucard, apparently.
And of course, what we'll play at the end.
Oh, and of course, Castlevania.
On Netflix, yeah.
Seasons 1 and 2, written by one of my favorite scribes, Warren Ellis. You know, it's very good and has lots of filthy, salty sailor language, which I'm all for. And we're all about in Geeks Out, even though we can't repeat it pre-Watershed. So I'm going to go around. How many drops of blood do we give it out of 10? I'm going to start with Tamsin.
6, and that's pushing it.
Oh, it's 6. Clean.
4.
I'm going to go 3. Like, so it's pretty dismal in this end. I'm just going to say, just because it's a vampire series doesn't mean it has to suck. That's my message.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's my message to you, Stephen Moffat. Ba-dum-tsh.
Thank you for making my jokes look good.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.